Hey, this is Sabrina Marie, host of the Building About It Success series. My spotlight is on real estate. And my guest is Eugenia Foxworth, owner of Foxworth Realty in Harlem, New York. She's the newly installed president of the International Federation of Real Estate. And this organization, it globally connects over 40 real estate professions, whether it be architects, real estate planners, surveyors, etc. She has been named a woman of excellence with the Chamber of Commerce there in New York City. And we talk about the importance of building communities through the ownership of owning your own home, businesses, and the like. And it's just so important, she said, also to reach out and let this information into the colleges and universities. This awesome interview with Eugenia and I and the importance of real estate is coming at you starting right now.
I understand that you're president of the International Federation of Real Estate. Can you tell our audience what organization that is and how important that is?
Okay, our organization is 70 years old. We're in 65 countries. I like to say that we are the grand dame of real estate. We do things we are comprised of every aspect of real estate: attorneys, architects, surveyors, appraisers, developers, including the gentleman that finds the embassies for the U.S. government. So we are a group of concerned people. We are in the business for ourselves. We're all volunteers, and we build. We try, right now, we're in ECOSOC with the UN, and before that word, affordable, we have been working on affordable housing, trying to get developers to do affordable housing and doing various things, I would say, for the past 10 years. And the importance of everything is the fact that it has to begin within your own communities, your universities, and you mentioned about what we do. You went to Howard. We try to give scholarships to students, and it's not the scholarship that is that important. It is the exposure that they would never have the opportunity. Say, for example, if you became an intern with an architect. That architect may be building a project. That architect has his financial people and everything else. So you would touch on various things. But I wanted to reach out to the schools that don't seem to get the scholarship because people are not aware of them. They are not aware of us. I mean, we have Oxford. Someone from Oxford got a scholarship. You know, it's various schools. You get Columbia or you get various places. What we'd like to do is expose, well, not expose us, but to let people know, because there are only 300 of us in the U.S. And I think it's important that Howard University, a lot of other universities should know about it. So that's where I say the importance comes in, because the students can educate the community, and the community will know what they're doing, not to sell their homes, and if they do, know where they're going, you know, be able to be with the professionals, and the consequences that one has to suffer if you do not do the correct thing. And everybody isn't the same, but that's basically it.
You have Foxworth Realty, and you've been able to achieve great success, not only in the Harlem area, now you're doing stuff internationally. And I wanted to know if you can explain the importance of minorities owning their own property. You just mentioned something about you know, people being exposed to this area. But what you own and control is vitally important. So I wanted, from your experience, to, you know, talk to our listeners about owning real estate and the importance and benefit.
Well, I always say the most important thing is to be a homeowner. If you sit down and you calculate the amount of money that you have spent on rentals, you could have owned an apartment, you could have owned a home. The important part about this is it's yours. And if you look at the people who are buying within the various communities, they know the value of money, and we're sitting on top of it, and we don't know the value of our money and to keep the communities, their income and their value up. You need to know that the correct mortgage broker. You go to the bank or you get a mortgage broker. Most people go in and they take whatever is offered. They don't quite understand that banks give you, now the interest rates are low. This is when you take advantage of the low interest rates, because the interest rates, when they were higher, people were complaining. Right now, everybody can really basically work something out to get that apartment or get that house. If you're renting, and in the way that the economy was, everybody started selling their homes, or they started bringing in Airbnb. Where does that leave the community to go? You're in a place, you're renting, Airbnb is coming in. Who are they going to take? Owning is security. Owning a house, whatever else you want to buy, if you own your home, own your apartment, and you want to buy something else, and you're paying on time, you can buy other things. Your credit is your bank. And you had another part of the question I think I may have missed.
Yes, the importance not only of ownership. And the reason I asked you those questions, in going to Historical Black College and being aware, because of my grandparents and parents, stressing not only ownership, my mom was a realtor, you see some of the African American or historical African American communities, and you hear people say, "Oh, that used to be ours. That used to be ours." The Harlem, theater, all these other things used to be ours. The Apollo used to be ours, and also the Howard used to be ours. And all this used to be a whole black community. And you look at the area. And I'm from Washington, D.C. Take Old Town or Georgetown. You need millions of dollars to live there. But those used to be black areas.
Exactly.
And I wonder, you know, if what you're saying in teaching these things and at the college level, teaching entrepreneurship and also architecture, we could start preserving some of these areas that used to be historical, what we're reading in books, and I just wonder, can many more of them be saved?
Yes, they can be saved, but you've got to get someone, as in some areas, and in Brooklyn, and there are a couple of areas in Virginia that have saved their properties, but it's education. And that is so important. You know, we're having things taken away from us. Even when properties come on the market, sometimes people will say, "Oh, I don't want to live there." But then you see everybody else coming in. The important part is to preserve our history. And in preserving our history, it helps our youth. You know, it's like I'm not from Harlem. I went to Harlem when I opened up my company. So I was very much aware of what is going on, the wonderful architecture, the beautiful brownstones. Then I found out some of the people don't even own them.
Right.
Historically, it was generational. A family had it, a family say, and it would go on and on. And now it's not like that. And this is the important part, that you need to be educated. You need to, you know, you're even walking down the street and you look around and you see the change and you say, oh my God, 125th Street. It looks like 42nd Street now. All the little boutiques that make up a community, or that little shop that people would go to, the grandmother would go to have, you know, the shoes repaired, or, you know, a little coffee shop, you know, or you could just go and you could sit. It's not like really a coffee shop. You could get everything. Yeah, we're losing that. And that's what you are seeing, and that's why it's important. It's important to maintain our history. And it's being dwindled away. It's being lost. Things aren't being preserved. You know, when I see on a beautiful block where someone has gone in and bought a couple of buildings, and they made the facade into something modern, and it stands out like, okay, we're here. This is what we're doing. Or they turn a brownstone into an apartment, three or four, you know, apartments in a building. It breaks my heart.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, it breaks my heart. And that's why I'm so active in a subtle way. On what I do and how I do things, actually, you know, and it's and I want more people to not say, as you said, it used to be. It still can be, especially now in this market. The opportunities
right.
are there.
Amen. Yes, I recently I'd gone through the Old Town area, and I stopped dead in my tracks because I remember one of the oldest flower shops owned by, started by a black couple, and I was lucky to actually learn and make a few pennies over the summers at that flower shop, which is no more. And it was started, as she told me, back in the late 30s because the black churches and other social organizations needed a florist.
Mm-hmm.
And they could not save that shop, but all the memories came flooding back, and it was just, you know, you have happy memories of what was, and then now to be able to get a piece of property like that, it's in the millions, and it's gone forever. And I don't know what it would take. Have you approached some of the HBCUs as well as small colleges? And or is this just something that you are working on right now?
Well, I just, May 1st was when I was installed. And I am working on it now. I have my, we have an academic outreach. And there are people that are going to be calling the different universities that I selected. You know, to the academic people, outreach people, or people that I selected, that although they don't look like me, they're of the same mind. And like I said, you know, having things in common with someone, as with our organization, we have a lot in common. And I spoke to some of our members prior to my becoming elected. I was elected almost unanimously. So I want the academics, and this is where some of your your listeners may be able to help me. We need one academic member of any school, college or university, to become our academic member. We give that membership for free. Why? Because then if a student wants a scholarship, then they can get it. If we don't have an academic member, they're not going to be able to get a scholarship. Little did I know, so many colleges did not. I'm involved with the Scholarship Foundation for FEOPC, not just USA. I'm a trustee for FEOPC Worldwide. And that's when I discovered that we don't have our schools. There was no outreach. Yeah, they may have the University of South Carolina, and they may have Georgetown University, which we do, but we don't have anyone else. So this is what I need. It's a matter of filling out an application. The application is, it's an application that you put down what your credentials are. If you teach, or if you're the head of a real estate department, if there's a real estate department in your university, then reach out to me. You can find me.
What is your website?
Well, my website is my real estate site. Okay. And that's Eugenia at Foxworth Realty. I'm not trying to sell them anything. I'd rather give you FEOPC. Info
right.
at FEOPC hyphen USA.com. And if not, you just have to put that in, or, you know, put my name in or contact you, but contact me if you need to. You can call my, my office is 212-368-4902. I don't remember our secretary. We have an interim secretary general in New York. Our founding, our main office at where we were founded is in Paris, but they have nothing to do with what I'm doing. You know, they are the, you know, they handle everything. They're like the, I would not know how to explain it, in other terms, but they are, you know, they handle the main things for all the chapters, of which there are 65. If we're in 65 countries, we have 65 chapters.
Mm-hmm. And you, with your motto and your decor, you are at a certain level of excellence, and that excellence shows in how you keep your own personal properties. I wanted to ask this question. Affordable housing. Affordable housing comes with a different meaning. And I noticed something. I was riding through one of the elite neighborhoods, but they don't keep their own neighborhoods looking as wonderful or even anywhere near respectably manicured. I think it's a mentality that certain people can live in a great place and keep the neighborhoods looking wonderful. And why don't you feel that we take that pride within our own? Why didn't we, why do you feel that we did not value an Apollo Theater or a Howard Theater or some of the black real estate areas that cropped up in the 40s, 50s, and 60s that were for blacks? And when you go back to some of these areas now, they're totally white. And the people who were owners, the grandkids and others are complaining, oh, that used to be ours. Well, there's a certain responsibility that goes with that. And when you talk about affordable housing, sometime when you don't know the responsibility of keeping up a property, the importance of keeping up a property, what it can mean for your kids, grandkids, and for your lineage, you pretty much threw caution to the wind. You sell it. You don't realize what you had.
Exactly.
Can you talk to us about that?
First of all, affordable housing. What is affordable? You know, that word is thrown around. When we did affordable housing, so you'll understand why that word, I feel, is thrown around. When I joined the organization, they had turned a dump, in Nicaragua, they had turned the slums and partial dump into, they built it. They got money from J.P. Morgan, and they built a community that the people that were living in the shacks could afford. That's affordable housing. Affordable housing is housing that the average person can afford. The average person is 70% of the United States, but on different levels. And you hear it, and you'll see something that's affordable. Oh, we're building affordable. Of course, they built affordable, but to whom? So there may be two or three different income levels. Right mm-hmm. now, there's affordable housing now that we're losing. In the HFDCs, where you have to have a maximum income, and where at one point you could not sell a property for more than this. Now it seems as though the laws are changing, and the maximum income is more than most people make in six figures, because it goes by the areas, and that word gentrification has an effect on it. Because if you build a modern house in that neighborhood, it's not like a comparable, like we say in real estate. Oh, when you buy an apartment, it's got to be in a building that's like yours. It has to be in a building that has a garage, if you have a garage, or a building that doesn't have a garage because you don't. Right now, it's a different thing. And what I think, when people see where they are in other neighborhoods and they see how neat and clean everything is and how things look, and then you go to our neighborhoods and you see they've thrown the garbage down. I remember right at City College, they came in and they painted the walls, the outside, and they put plants up. I came by. Less than a week later, there was garbage inside. The dogs were there. Someone had taken the wonderful, pastel colors down. And you say to yourself, this is your neighborhood. They had put garbage cans out in different places, and it was wonderful. People from outside of the community, which was a part of that organization, did it. And I think it is self-hate. It's an innate. We all have something innate within us. But you need to say, I deserve better.
Yes.
This is mine. And then they see the people. I may get called a name, but I don't, because I'm all over the communities. But the other people come in, and they don't say anything. They let it, they let it go. But in the meanwhile, we don't appreciate what we have. And we're just letting people take it away. It's like a carcass. The vultures, once it's down, the vultures come and they take over. And that's how I'm looking at things. And it hurts. It hurts. Because I fight to keep these, to let you keep your buildings. When someone says they're getting ready to go into foreclosure, and I'm known for this, I'll say, wait a minute, let me help. I know what I can do. And I will put a renter in that's not going to steal your apartment, because people aren't aware that if you don't have the funds and you have someone paying rent to you, that person, mm-hmm. if you're short and you can't pay your bill, that person can actually get your home. We aren't aware of this. Also, the city cannot own buildings unless you pay, unless it has to do with taxes. 40% of the properties that's owned by the cities is within our communities. Okay? That's why there are a lot of changes. 40% of the city-owned properties is because somebody didn't pay their taxes or someone did not tell them they had to pay their taxes. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's important, education. I don't know what it is, just like I always say, you know, I will save your brownstones in Harlem. And that's what I more or less do. You know, I will help you. I will put a renter in. I will give you the tools to go to court. And my tools are my knowledge. My tools are my website. My tools are when you show the courts that you are trying to make the money, that you have a renter in there, then they wait. Banks don't want to be landowners. So if banks don't want to be landowners, why aren't we taking advantage of it? There are properties that go into foreclosure. Why aren't you looking for foreclosures? You just have to pay the balance or whatever. And there's a lot available. Buy within the community. There's nothing more beautiful than the community. When I went to Harlem in 2008, when I opened my business, one of the publications, the publisher, I'll say, of the Harlem News said, I know why you're in love with Harlem, because you've never been around so many black people. And it's true, because I grew up one place and, you know, because of my different business. I mean, when I got into real estate, I was on 80th and Lexington, the Upper East Side. But I was very ecstatic to open up in Harlem, and I will never regret it. And the way that I have this passion, the people that live in the community, there are those who do have the passion, but there are those who don't have that passion. I think it's been subtly taken away that I can't afford it, I can't do it, and no one has sat down to teach them. And that's what I try to do. But it's only one of me. You need lots of grains of sand to make a beach.
Right. Right. Well, thank you so much for being with us. You know, I want you to leave us with, you know, contact information and whatnot, so we can get this out not only to the listeners, and we can also put it up on our web site as well as our blog.
Well, my name is Eugenia Foxworth. My company is Foxworth Realty. I'm located in Harlem at 1524 Amsterdam Avenue. And the office number is 212-368-4902. Thank you so very much.